You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor here on 96.7 FM, KNUM, Portland, The Numbers. Every week we get together, myself and Dr. Bukasi Dubé, and we talk about the things that are happening within the Black community, happening within our community here in Portland, and we're trying to get some answers. Since the beginning of the series, it's been pretty COVID heavy. That's been the primary concern right now. That's been the top of our list. But as the series continues, I'm sure we'll be covering a lot more different, issues, different subjects that come to mind. But right now, we are still in the middle of a pandemic. And if you have any questions, please refer to some of our older episodes. Feel free to go to the website. You can pose a question there. And then also, you can also reach out to us directly. Dr. Dubé's contact information is always in the description of the episode. But before we get started, Doc, how are you today?
Man, I am doing well. Just good. Happy to be here. Happy to be engaging folks. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in better spirits. It seems like some of this work is starting to pan out. I'm talking to more people every day that are feeling better about their decision to be vaccinated, and they're talking to other people about it, feeling more informed. So I feel like we're trending in the right direction. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we're trending in the right direction.
No, the numbers are definitely improving, which is good. The numbers are improving. The message is getting out there. People are listening to what the public health officials and the physicians are saying, and their providers are saying. So for me, I'm in a better place now because we're definitely seeing an improvement.
Yeah, and that's important. I'm glad that you mentioned you being in a better place, because I think one of the things that we don't talk about too often is how are our healthcare providers doing? You know, how are they actually feeling being stuck in the middle of people, you know, trying to come to terms with whether they want to trust science and trust medicine at this point in time, when it's so dire and so important that everyone actually, you know, trust the information. There's always been that conversation around, I need to do my own research. And I think now that statement is becoming more laughable in the way that people are like, but what does that even look like? What do you mean? Are you a trained researcher? What do you have access to conduct your own research? Stop it.
You know, I appreciate that you bring up the issue of how the frontline workers are doing. Mm-hmm. I can tell you up front, people are exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't go to combat and spend 18, 19, 20 months straight without a break.
Right.
You know, that when the military deploy folks, they do, you know, they're 1, 2, 3 months at max, and then they come back home, or they take a break from that combat situation. Yeah. We've been going for about 20 months now, and yes, things are improving, but things are still really, really dire. Yeah. So this is a shout out to all my healthcare providers out there, you know, the doctors, the nurses, the medical assistants, the radiologists, all the techs out there, the respiratory therapists, the physical therapists, occupational therapists, and you know what? And the janitorial staff as well.
Yes.
Because, man, what they bring to the table is massive. We're all a team. We're all working together. So a shout out to all those folks out there.
And while we're doing shout outs, I want to give some shout outs to community leaders, influencers, anyone positively using their platform to spread the information and make sure that people have their questions answered and are having honest discussion and dialogue around what your next step should be to ensure that your community is safe. So Shout out to those folks as well, those people directly outside the medical community. So this week, we're talking case rates and monoclonal antibody therapy. And I guess within this discussion, case rates by race. So we've been talking a lot about children's health and safety now that the school year has started. Can you tell us about how COVID-19 cases are increasing among children?
Man, this is another really sad moment, right? Where we started collecting and publishing data about what's going on in the pediatric population. We've noticed that statewide, we've had close to 37,000 pediatric cases, and in the black community, about 1,100 of those are black kids. So what we have seen is that black kids and Hispanic kids and other BIPOC kids are contracting COVID at much, much higher rates than white kids. So I'm talking, 3 to 4 times the case rate of white kids. And we know why that is, right? Well, we don't have the entire picture, but a big part of that is the fact that their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their grandparents, their relatives who are out there going out and working and coming back home, living in multi-generational households, are the ones who are contracting COVID at much higher rates as well. So it makes sense that the kids who are exposed to these individuals would also have higher rates. So it's telling what's happening in society, what's happening in our society, and this is true for not just Oregon, right? It's true for the rest of the country.
Right, right. I'm glad you explained why the numbers are trending the way they are. I remember early on there was a lot of conspiracy discussion around why it's affecting us, as if we're being targeted through some government means designing the vaccine. And then also there was a moral conversation that was attached to the infection rate early on about, the type of decisions that we're making. And, we're just not wearing masks and we're not doing what we need to be doing as a community. When the fact of the matter is, a lot of us just still have to work. We don't have the luxury of not working jobs where we're dealing with a lot of people and we're on the front line. So that's the contributing factor.
That is very true, right? If you look at our mobility data, right, from shows us that most of the transmission was happening on the I-5 corridor, at least at the very beginning, and that's where people, that's where people are hopping on and off, the roads, going out to work in their respective jobs. A lot of people of color don't have the luxury, like you said, of working jobs that allow them to stay at home or working from home. So they're out there, serving people. They're out there, cleaning homes. They're out there, doing, the necessary stuff to make sure that, their families are fed. But at the same time, they're exposing themselves, encountering a lot of people, and as a result, get exposed to COVID-19. And that's why these cases are much higher.
So the cases we already identified and discussed, the cases are much higher within children of communities of color, which of course mirrors the activity of the adults in that community.
Exactly.
How much more at risk are the children, especially considering, depending on the age, vaccinations aren't necessarily available to them? I think I did see something earlier this week or late last week about possible approval for vaccine between the ages of 5 and 11, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. So in terms of what's going on right now, we know that for the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, the Delta variant has been the primary variant in Oregon and in the rest of the country as well. So about 95% and 98% of all the cases in Oregon are due to the Delta variant. No. What we also know is that it's not necessarily causing more severe illness. It's just the reason why we're seeing more people being hospitalized, the reason why we're seeing more people being sicker, is because there's just a whole lot more people who are infected. So it's not necessarily causing a sicker, it's not necessarily causing people to be sicker. It's not necessarily causing people to, more people to be hospitalized. It's just the sheer number of people who are sick. That's why that's why we're seeing this. Then the other thing is, what we have to be cognizant of is, hey, if 11-year-olds can't get vaccinated, 11 and younger can't get vaccinated, we have to do the things, the right things to protect them, right?
Right.
We, meaning those that are 12 and older, we need to do the things that ensure that these kids are protected. And what are some of those things, right? We've been talking about it. Get vaccinated, folks. That's the best way to protect your family. Get vaccinated.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's not that, like you said, people are getting sicker. It's just that more people are getting sick, which ties into the higher rate of infection based on this version, this variant being more communicable. So that that all tracks. That makes perfect sense. Okay. All right. You see, people, this is how it works. When you just ask the right questions and you don't have to make things up. And you're asking the people that know. All right. And last time I checked, there's still no magnets or tracking devices in the vaccine. And we're still all good there. None of that's changed.
No, none of that's changed.
Okay.
You know, we just did a community conversation with a Life Change Church this past Sunday. It was myself and Kalita Lewis and the two pastors of the church.
Nice.
It was awesome because we got a lot of questions from the community, right? And they had a lot to, the pastors had done a lot of homework prior to this community conversation.
Mm.
And it was very well attended. And
good.
So some of the things that you bring up about the myths that are out there about the misinformation, it's happening in every society, in every segment of society. And I was just grateful and blessed to be part of that, to be part of that community conversation.
Yeah, that's awesome. So going back to the disparities that are responsible for the numbers that we're looking at in the BIPOC communities, are there things that are being done to address them?
Yeah, so I can tell you that, so given that I work for both Multnomah County and Oregon Health Authority, OHA, I'm aware of what both entities are doing. This is yet another opportunity where I think we need to give a shout out to the public health folks at Multnomah County and at Oregon Health Authority, especially at Multnomah County, especially the REACH program headed by Tamika Brazil and Charlene McGee.
Yes.
I mean, those two ladies have been, you know, they've been warriors for our community. They've been warriors for people of color. So shout out to Charlene McGee and Tamika Brazil.
Absolutely.
and their team. So a lot of things are going on, right? A while ago, the Oregon Health Authority created these community-based. They empowered the community to create these community-based organizations, CBOs, that have led the way in terms of getting people tested, getting people vaccinated, and providing information in a culturally responsive manner. So that's why we have all these flyers and pamphlets that are translated to, you know, the 12, 13, 14 most common languages in the Portland Metro, not just in the Portland Metro, but in all of Oregon. Then you also have the community partner outreach program, also at OHA, that's engaging folks and trying to, that's Dolly England and her team, engaging folks and trying to make sure that, you know, resources are available to folks who need them. So if you need to quarantine, that, you know, your needs are met if you have to quarantine, or if you have to isolate as well, your needs are met while you're isolating.
And that's important, because that's been very, that's hard to do. You know,
like you said, living
in a multi-generational household with limited resources, where do you quarantine? How do you quarantine?
Exactly. So this is where all these organizations come in. And the REACH program as well is also doing a lot of community engagement, trying to, you know, make sure that those that like you say, those that need to quarantine are quarantining, those that need to isolate are isolating, you know, providing hotels for folks to isolate to make sure that we are indeed stopping the spread of this disease.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Great news. Okay.
And folks, there's a whole lot more information on the Ask the Black Doctor website regarding what's being done. So you can log on to, you can go online and see what's being done and what resources are available from all these community partners.
Excellent. Are there treatments that can reduce the risk of being hospitalized for COVID-19?
You know, you bring up a very, very, very important point. The hope was that we would have Dr. Chris Evans join us today, but he's on service, so he's not able to join us. But we do have treatments that are available for folks that have been vaccinated and those that have not been vaccinated, right? Things like monoclonal antibody therapy. That's probably the best way to prevent the progression of disease. And so what are monoclonal antibodies? Actually, you know what, before I even talk about what they are, what I should say is President Donald Trump, when he got sick with COVID-19, he got monoclonal antibodies. He was treated with monoclonal antibodies. And that's part of the reason why he was able to, you know, pull through and beat this disease.
Yeah. Could you tell our listeners what monoclonal antibody therapy is?
Yeah. So that's a good question. So monoclonal antibodies, this is a therapy that's developed in the lab, essentially uses technology to to create antibodies that fight the coronavirus.
Okay.
And so the idea is, if you're exposed to COVID-19, and or if you become sick with COVID-19 and you are treated early enough, you get these antibodies that prevent the virus from entering your cells, prevent the virus from replicating in your body and causing more severe illness. If you get these therapies, you can end up not needing hospitalization. You can end up not needing oxygen that requires to be hospitalized, not going into respiratory failure. So that's why these therapies are so important. And there are currently two versions of these therapies, right? There's an intravenous version, meaning that you get it through the IV, or there's a subcutaneous version, which means you get it through an injection that goes just into your skin, and it's a quick injection into the fatty layer of the skin, similar to how people give themselves insulin when they are diabetics.
Got you. And these treatments are available to the public now.
They're available to the public now. And you know what's been missing is that a lot of people don't know that these are available to them. But not just that. A lot of physicians don't know that these are available, right? A lot of physicians and providers don't know that these are available to them essentially for free to the patient. And all the patient has, it's good if patients know to ask for them. It's good for patients to know to say, hey, I've heard of this therapy. Can I get it?
Right.
I'm a high risk patient, or even, you know, I'm afraid of getting sicker. Can I get it? I've been exposed to COVID-19. Can I get it?
And who qualifies for it? Are there any, like, if you have pre-existing conditions of any type, are there things that you should be worried about that would preclude you from even asking for it, or kind of, you know, make you leery or concerned? Or is this, will this work for anyone no matter where they are?
Yeah,
health spectrum.
So that's a good question, right? So these are approved for people who are 12 and older, and people who are at least 40 kilograms. So, you know, when you go into the clinic, your provider, the person who's taking care of you knows all these details about you, right? They obviously know that you're at least 12 years old, or they know that you're at least 40 kilograms.
Right.
And so they can say, oh yeah, you qualify. And it can be anyone that's exposed that's 12 and older.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going in to see my doctor. I've been COVID free the entire time. How should I be posing this question to my doctor? Because we do know communities of color have historically had issues with not just being heard, but believed when they go to see their doctors. I remember having some conversations with women in our community about what it's like to go to their doctor, their primary care physician, and communicate some of the concerns that they're having. And it just feels like it's going through one ear and out the other. With so much going on right now in the world, especially around COVID, and with our medical community just run down, just, completely worn out. How best do you advise trying to have this conversation about wanting to undergo, this particular therapy?
So you highlight the disparities that we've seen that have been exposed because of this pandemic, right? That have come to the forefront of the rest of the world's awareness. Even though, Black folks, you don't have to ask Black folks, they live it every single day, right? So I appreciate that you bring it up and that we can talk about it openly and honestly. So the important thing is, when you go in and you have been exposed to COVID-19 and you've tested positive, or you're feeling ill and you test positive for COVID-19, that's when you should ask for this treatment. Especially if you're someone who has pre-existing conditions. And we know that pre-existing conditions are rampant in the Black community. And not just the Black community, right? In communities of color. The important thing is to say, hey, doc, oh, hey, provider, I've heard about monoclonal antibodies. And because I'm a high-risk patient and I've been exposed to COVID-19, I would like to get monoclonal antibody therapy. And if they don't have it in their clinic, they should be able to direct you to the right place to get it, to get treatment. The good thing is that, well, so the unfortunate thing is that over the last 2 months, the southern states have overutilized these because they haven't vaccinated people at so they've relied on this therapy as opposed to vaccinating folks, which is not a good idea, but that's what they did. So now there's a massive shortage countrywide. And so because of the massive shortage, the federal government is now tightening the amount of doses that are being sent to states. So our numbers are probably going to go down
Got you.
significantly in terms of how much we get. But it's still available to folks. It's still available. I think we're getting close to 2,000 doses a week.
Okay.
So that's quite a lot of doses. I'm not sure on the exact number, but we're getting quite a lot of doses and they're still available to us. The important thing is making sure that people understand that this is a therapy that's available to them
Yeah.
and you can ask for it.
Right. That's a viable option. That's out there. And as it is an option, I'm thankful that we do have them available, and the demand hasn't surpassed the capacity to provide that. So very happy about that. You did mention that in the southern states, they ended up having to rely on them heavily because of the low vaccination rates. And I do think we've talked about this before. The rate of spread, of course, being tied to people being unvaccinated. But what we're also seeing is, everyone's desire to want to be back out in the world, but not participate in the steps to safely do it. And part of those steps is one, of course, mask wearing, but two, actually being vaccinated versus getting a fake vaccination card or having, a fake card designed and used in Photoshop so they could have the photo in their phone. I think, honestly, for me anyways, this kind of exposes, because it's science, right? science is science. Biology is biology. You can't fool it. You can't fake it. If you're vaccinated, the possibility of you contracting it is far, far, far lower. So the fact that there are so many cases right now means there's a great swath of the community that were saying they were vaccinated, that were participating in the outside world, that simply were not.
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate, right? It's this is akin to, you know, faking a driver's license.
Yeah,
it's breaking the law. It's not right. It's you're putting other people in harm's way, and you know, exercise your individual liberties, but your individual liberties shouldn't affect other people's ability to be alive.
Yeah.
So once your exercising of your individual liberties infringes on other people's lives, then that ain't right.
No. Yeah. Agreed.
That should be fine.
Man. Well, for anyone that has tuned in, you know, and you've gotten the information and it's been a blessing to you, please share it with others. And remember, if you are at your physician and you are, you know, feeling some type of way, maybe you're just not sure about a couple of things, feel free, ask those questions, have that conversation. It's one thing to listen to Dr. Dubay and I dialogue about some of these issues you may be concerned about. It's a little bit something different when you can have your own doctor speak to your specific conditions and your specific health chart and tell you the ins and outs of how to navigate this.
Yeah. So along those lines, I went to another vaccine clinic this past weekend at Reynolds High School. And what I learned from that, from engaging folks at that vaccine clinic was that in talking to people who were getting vaccinated, whether they were teenagers or adults, two things came up over and over again, which was, hey, I'm getting vaccinated because my doctor told me to do so. They thought it was a good idea. My doctor told me it was a good idea. Mm. Then the second thing was they talked to a family member or a friend who encouraged them to do it.
Good.
So I want to tell, I'm making a plea to folks out there to say, hey, if you've been vaccinated, don't just stop there, right? There's something else you can do, which is talk to your neighbor, talk to your friend, talk to your family member who has not yet been vaccinated and encourage them to get vaccinated because it moves the needle.
Yeah.
And it protects people, especially people who live in multi-generational homes, especially people who are people of color. So let's all encourage each other. Let's all reach out to somebody who has not been vaccinated and say, hey, let me talk to you about my experience.
Right. Yeah. That was excellent. Thank you so much, Doc. We're going to get this episode out to the people. Did you have anyone else that reached out to you with any questions?
No. No questions this week.
Okay.
But
all right.
You know, we invite questions out there. We invite feedback. So please holler if you have questions.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you guys so much. We will catch you next week.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.